Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah, just another night in the graveyard, surrounded by ravens, buzzards, and outdoor masturbators. Now, to crack open the latest issue of Gun Aficionado, to which I am chained, and check out the continuing story of... What's that sound I hear? Why, is it rude tales of magic sweeping down the cemetery like a high-octane wind? Why, indeed, it is. Brace for impact in 3, 2... Oh, my God, it's so beautiful up close. I can almost...
Bad news. The Grave Freaker's chest has exploded upon impact with tonight's episode of Rude Tales of Magic, traveling at 800 miles per hour. The good news? He's in stable condition at the ER. The bad news? ER stands for European Rodeo. Unfortunately, he's being tossed around roughly by Greek and Hungarian cowboys. But let's not linger on that haunting visual. Let's instead linger on the east side of Piss Harbor, a neighborhood that Curls Invisible of Cordelian Esquire once called probably the ugliest place I've ever gotten stuck in a bucket. And as we swoop down and take in this gray neighborhood's uninspiring vistas, it's hard not to agree with the man. This neighborhood seems to have boomed during the most uninspiring times in Cordelian history, and then gone out for a smoke break. Signs for tire shops and convenience stores cloud the skyline, while down below, uneven sidewalks and guys with no shirts throwing bicycles at themselves stretch out as far as the eye can see. It's unclear how they're doing this. This is the kind of neighborhood where a guy with a neck tattoo would show you a trick where he turns his fingernails inside out. And if that sounds like a Dadaist non sequitur to you, rather than a very medically possible event, thank your lucky stars and enjoy your untroubled sleep. We pass over the top of a Blimpies, we have those, and we find ourselves in the parking lot behind it, where two vagrants are throwing small swords at rats. Abdul, who is the more narratively significant one that we see first?
Oh, you see me, sucks Christ. I'm truly a product of my upbringing and this neighborhood. I love throwing swords at these little rats with my best friend.
Yeah, and that's me. I'm your best friend. We see his best friend. His best friend's name is Booger, and he looks a lot like Sucks Christ. He looks like a Sucks Christ that just, like, the author focused less on. You know what I mean? He's just got, like, less memorable details about him, but he's just the same kind of guy. And they're just throwing swords at rats. Abdul, can you make a can you make an attack roll on these rats?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Oh, shit. I rolled a 3, and my strength is 0, so I got a 3. These rats fucking kick my ass, dude.
Yeah, you throw a sword at the rat, and the rat catches it in its hand, and it throws it back at you, and it hits you in the shoe.
Shit, dude, these are my good tivas.
Dude, that sucks.
Fuck, these rats have been fucking with us for far too long, Booger. I have a plan. The plan that will make us the happiest we've ever been in our entire lives.
Oh, is it doing whippets?
It does involve eventually doing whippets, without
a
doubt.
Okay, then I'm in, my man, I'm in.
But first step to that plan is that we need to put a bounty on my head. A bounty with a rap sheet so large and terrible that we can make sure that when we turn me in to the bounty police, we are able to get over 700,000 coins.
Yeah, cool. Look, dude, it does not matter what currency we use in this world. Like, coins is as good as gold. You could say dollars, dude. It's fine. American dollars.
Burr, if we're able to pull this off, we can, without a doubt, get enough money to make all of our dreams come true. We can buy that above-ground pool that your mom always wanted.
700,000 coins. That's like 1 million coins for each of us.
That's without a doubt the best math I've ever heard in my life.
Thanks, dude. Okay, yeah, well, let's set it. Let's set the bounty. This is smart. This is smart what we're about to do.
This
we set
is without
the bounty,
a doubt.
We collect the money.
100%. That's what we're going to do. We're going to set the bounty on my head. We're going to say that I did a bunch of fucked up stuff, and then we're going to turn me in and then collect all the money.
Okay, just real quick, like brainstorming. I'm going to go find like a bounty hunter, like agent or
yeah.
Some shit. I'm going to tell him all this stuff. What should we say you did? Because it's got to be good for 700 thou.
Yeah, say that I burned down an orphanage.
That's good. They keep orphans in there.
I know. And I did not let any of the orphans out when they asked me very politely to leave.
That's good. Oh, cool. So you start a fire and it's not urgent.
Yeah.
Like, they're just asking, they're still using manners and shit, and you're just like, no one can come out.
I said, no one can come out. And also say that I have been shoplifting Monster Energy drinks from every grocery store in the land.
In the land, okay, cool, I'll tell, in the land. One more, this feels like we're looking at, like, maybe 500,000 for these crimes. We gotta get one more, you know? Like, I don't know, maybe you've been, like, hurting the sun or something. I don't know. You're the idea guy. I don't know.
No, dude. That's a good idea, Booger. You're also an idea guy. You got to believe in yourself.
And I kick the ground. I'm not cool like you. I'm definitely not someone that like a story would focus on.
You are. You are the main character of your own story. And even though your facial features are so vague and indistinct most of the time, I feel like I can picture you in my mind whenever I think about what would my best friend look like.
Dude, and I grab you by the lapels of like your jean jacket with like cut off sleeves. I'm like, dude, I am not the main character of my life. I am a side character in your life. Do you know what the best day of my day every day is?
What?
When I go to pick you up for our job at our shitty construction place where we work and you show up because it's so cool to see you.
And then Sucks almost starts crying, but instead he like horks a giant loogie on the ground and he goes, I fucking love you so much, man. For the third crime, let us make it regicide. I have killed a king.
Whoa, okay, yeah. That's gotta be worth it. At least like enough to get us from 500 thou to 700 thou.
Yeah, it is worth easily that much money. Go, please.
I didn't even know
friend.
We had a king. That rules. Oh, dude, and now we can sleep with the queen.
Shit, dude, I didn't even fucking think of that. That's genius.
Dude. Okay, dude, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go set a bounty for you. 700 big ones, baby. We're gonna be living like kings, by which I mean we're gonna be having sleeping time with the queen.
We're gonna go to town on that queen, dude.
Yeah, hell yeah. How do you think it works? And we cut away now to a booth at Dino's Bar and Grill. On another night, the drinks will flow and the blood will spill. But tonight, we're looking at the temporary location of Moonlight Value Bounty's headquarters. Our heroes sit cramped in a booth waiting to be served. Who do we see?
Taking up most of the booth is a mostly nude, thick-muscled, sunburnt motorcycle man bedecked with neon flowers, wraparound sunglasses, and a hint of black spiked armor. But imagine if his motorcycle was a horse and also his legs were the horse, because this is Jonathan Large and he is a centaur.
Next to him, also mostly nude, nursing a black coffee, is Tommy Whistle, a cowboy frogman and the most lonesome man on earth.
Across from Jonathan Large in the booth is Neil, a gargoyle. She's also entirely nude. She's made of stone, and she has graffiti scratches all over her body from the teenagers who went up on the top of the church that she used to sentinel at, who went up there to stargaze and make out.
And seated next to Neil, but with a really healthy gap between them, is Moose. That devil-may-care dwarf of Daring Do. He's got a pastel-colored t-shirt on under a pastel-colored suit with the sleeves rolled up. He's wearing sunglasses indoors because, well, he's seen a lot in his days. His hair is slicked back, and he's also nursing a cup of coffee.
Moose, when are we going to get you to loosen up R.E. clothing, huh? Come on, we're all doing it.
Jonathan. You know I'm naked a lot of the time.
Oh,
that's for extracurricular activities, my friend.
That's wonderful how much you enjoy sexual intimacy.
Well, I've had to make up for a lot of lost time. And Moose looks to his fellow bounty hunter to his left.
Yeah, Neil finishes her milkshake with an annoying flourish, with like a real at the bottom, and pointedly does not look back at Moose.
Across the aisle from you guys, there's a booth of people who are completely nude. It's all like nude humans. They wave at you and they point to a sign that says, "No shirt, no shoes, no Irish."
We wave back.
They give you a thumbs up and they say, "It's a lifestyle." And then they point at Moose and they say, "Newbie."
Yeah.
I have no problem with nudity.
Sure. And one of them like raises a beer to you and says, "I remember my first day as a nudist."
How did I get roped?
Hey, everybody, let's all razz on the guy who only takes his clothes off for sexual intercourse. What a nerd. Hey, Moose, I'm just kidding. I love you.
And I look great.
Yeah, of course.
Good. I love you, too.
Great. Where's my
At least there's someone in this crew who I know has my back.
Neil rolls her eyes and then finishes her milkshake again.
Now, Moose, you're not still mad at Neil for restoring your virginity. That's a gift, man. That's a gift.
How is it a gift?
You got to live it all over again.
It wasn't intended as a gift. It was a punishment. I was mad at you.
It's not a gift, Jonathan. To have a second first time, a second magical, incredible first time. My mind is a maelstrom trying to compare the two.
Calm down, everyone, calm down. Once again, it's up to Tommy Whistle to be the mediating presence in the group. Now, Moose. To be perfectly honest, many at this table would themselves appreciate being forgiven for their sins. I think I would, if I were you, I might appreciate the opportunity.
Then go ahead. Let Neil purify you. She can do it at any time. Restore his virginity, Neil. Go ahead.
I do what I want, when I want.
Tommy Whistle looks up with his open eyes, a tear almost forming in his right eye as he silently pleads at Neil.
Just for my clarification, Tommy's pleading for his virginity?
No, to be forgiven.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, Neil's going to misread that. Pleading.
Okay.
And offer what some may consider a gift and others a punishment. She spits holy water on his face. His virginity is restored.
Tommy flops over. He grabs his groin.
Yeah, that's right, Tommy. Doesn't feel so good to be naked in public when you're a naked virgin.
Oh no. This wasn't what I wanted. This wasn't what I...
What?
Oh my God. I am untouched. I may not have been with anymore. I thought my other sins were going to be forgiven. Not the sins I care most about.
Why didn't you just say that?
When I deal with God, I hate to put into words what I assume can be communicated through eye contact.
God loves words. He's all about it.
Could have fooled me.
The silence of our empty lives always reflects his disappointment with the power of words.
30 seconds too late for our show to take the baffling stance that sex is a sin that needs to be forgiven. A waiter shows up. A little old man with a long beard and perfectly circular sunglasses approaches you before throwing off his disguise and revealing himself as Maybelline Moonlight. The half-elf, half-orc, all-woman head of Moonlight Value Bounties. She's beautiful if you're into Amazonian women designed by R. Crumb, which you are. She addresses you.
My guy in DC tells me that we are not dealing with a student here. We're dealing with the professor. Anytime the military has an operation that can't fail, they call this guy in to train the troops, okay? He's the kind of guy that would drink a gallon of gasoline so he could piss in your campfire. You could drop this guy off in the Arctic Circle wearing a pair of bikini underwear without his toothbrush, and tomorrow afternoon, he's going to show up at your poolside with a $1 million smile and a fistful of pesos. This guy's a professional, you got me? If he reaches this rig, we're all gonna be nothing but a big goddamn hole right in the middle of Alaska. So let's go find him and kill him and get rid of the son of a bitch. Oh, I'm sorry. That's for my 10 o'clock group who are hunting down Steven Seagal. Hold on.
Oh, what a relief.
Okay, here's your guy. Sucks Christ. We think he's in his 20s. We know he's definitely older than his behavior would dictate. This guy is banned from every family restaurant in Piss Harbor for blowing up their bathrooms in a way that made it clear he was also shoplifting. I have more information on that, but I refuse to share it with you. His species is unlisted, but he did list his race as white on a survey in 81 that he filled out to buy a hammer. His bounty was placed by somebody named None of My Fucking Business Lady and is set at 700,000 coins. And he specified that it was coins.
Not gold?
I'm saying gold, but he said coins. Okay, what else do we have?
That's like 350,000 toonies.
Oh, yeah, for the double coin. Okay. Oh, okay, here's one. He has the stash of a teenager, but the mullet of a full-grown man. And his character sheet that he emailed me this morning was covered in drawings of veiny cocks that we will put up on the Patreon, ABC. I don't know. I gotta say, this one sounds like he's not gonna be hard to locate. I know they don't exist in this world, so this is sort of cheating, but if you picture a Metallica fan circa 1986 in your head, you're gonna be pretty close to this guy. We know he's a real threat. He's done a lot of bad things. He burnt down an orphanage.
What?
Most troublingly, he killed the king.
No.
Oh.
I'm as confused as you. I did not know a king ruled over Piss Harbor, but apparently there was one, and he made short work of him.
He burned down a building?
Yes, an orphanage, I believe.
He killed orphans? Oh, I long to turn this man back into the dirt from which he came.
An evil man.
Let's all just hold our horses. I mean, at least the one good thing to come out of the situation is that at least the queen had some time for independence, right?
Tommy, watch your language in front of Jonathan.
Thank you, Moose. I have since learned what that expression means since the last time I killed in error.
I apologize, Jonathan. All I mean is that the silver lining is that the queen, finally without a romantic relationship, is able to, in her independent time, rule magnanimously and focusedly. It's right?
I mean, as you can imagine, a king has been killed. The political fallout, the violence, the state violence that will ensue is generational.
It just feels weird out there now, you know? It feels unstable. It makes so much sense that it's a guy that we have to get his bounty.
There's a little bit more. Look, we don't know much about this guy, but we do know with a bounty that high, you should be ready for the worst. This guy is likely a real threat, an operator, likely a liar. Don't believe a word of his honeyed lies, or it could spell your death. No matter how much he tries to trick you with his verbal acrobatics, stay firm on this bounty. That's a lot of cash. Again, should he engage you verbally, he is not to be trusted. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Is this a dead or alive scenario, Maybelline?
Dead, go on, dead.
I think as a he committed regicide. I think ideally we want him brought to trial. This could be, he could be from a rival nation. I don't know. Again, I didn't know we had a king.
Yeah, do you even know the king he killed?
Never heard of it, but
just the king.
We had a king, and the king's dead now. I think we're gonna want to bring this guy in alive.
Okay.
Well, I don't like it, but I do respect the law, of course.
And I hate a man who kills orphans.
Oh, right.
I accept this bounty.
And I'm withholding judgment until I hear about the queen's romantic situation.
Okay, well, he was last seen on the east side of town, near the Blimpies, where a guy turned his head inside out.
Oh, I was there.
Cool.
Whoa.
No way, dude.
It was bad.
Oh.
It was so bad.
That's not supposed to stay inside.
I know.
Did the brain stay inside, or did the brain also go
Everything
outside?
Everything was outside. Everything was outside.
Oh, no.
How'd you
do
it?
His family was bummed.
Do you do it with magic?
No.
Oh, wow. That's
Force?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was really grumpy. He just got so grumpy.
We cut to this conversation. Everyone is having it on Jonathan Large's back as he gallops towards the Blimpies end of town.
And you see back in the distance, way behind us, Dino's bar and grill is incredibly, incredibly on fire.
Tommy, it was really nice of you to hold the door for all those orphans who were entering as we were leaving.
Happy to. Happy to. They ask to go in. I give them what they want.
Orphans in this world are like lemmings. They'll just go wherever they're led into a burning building. And by the way, listeners, I know the lemmings didn't actually do that. I know they were forced off by Walt Disney, who was an evil man and is in hell now. The lemmings naturally do not just commit suicide en masse. They don't. That's not...
What?
I thought you were talking about all the great and classic PC games.
Well, those are based off of the, I believe it's called the Great White North documentary. It's a Disney documentary from the 50s, where they pushed lemmings off of a cliff and said, lemmings do this all the time.
That is funny. Discover a species and then start making up lies about them.
While the party rides on the back of Jonathan Large, Moose is going to sort of pull Tommy to the side of Jonathan Large and speak to him privately.
Yeah, you guys are little and I got a big old butt. Plenty of room.
Tommy, well, I've got you here. I can trust you, right?
Of course. I'm your peer and co-worker. You can trust me.
You're pretty steamed about the whole virginity thing, huh?
To be honest, I kind of understand why you're upset. Sex needs to have mattered. The relationships you had needs to have mattered if you want to move forward. Maybe I didn't fully understand before. Anyway, I got what I asked for, apparently.
Well, I had an idea that might at least make us both feel a little better.
And Moose, from his blazer, something you could only do if you were clothed, produces a flyer and hands it to Tommy.
Huh. Tommy looks at the flyer and observes the words upon it.
Tommy, you gotta flip it around. You gotta flip it around. And Moose flips it around, revealing that it's a flyer for the Piss Harbor Museum of Cool Statues. It's announcing their spring acquisition period.
What, you want us to observe the naked forms of myth and emperor?
No, I was thinking, what if we made a little money on the side and added Neil to their collection, if you know what I mean?
Sell our peer? Sell our coworker? Moose.
Yeah?
I'm not there yet. She's a valuable member of our team. We can't get this bounty without her. Though... maybe she is missing her real peers. At the very least, we can take her in and introduce her to her family.
Whatever gets you there, my man. Just think it over.
I'll think it over, but I'm not sure.
We're I'm here.
Oh!
Neil finishes her milkshake.
Neil, you've been eating a lot of milkshakes.
No, this has been one milkshake.
Yeah.
Neil has been finishing one milkshake over and over again.
Thank you.
You make it to the Blimpy, and you see the parking lot out back. It seems empty, although there are some very strong-looking rats, the kind of rats with the reflexes that could catch a small sword thrown to them.
You see that weird stain on the ground? That's from the inside-out head guy.
Oh, head makes that color?
It makes more colors than you'd think.
But that's one of the colors it makes for sure.
Wow.
Yikes. And look, there's a bunch of guys under bikes. They look dead.
Near you, shirtless guys struggle under bikes.
I'm going to throw it at myself.
Looks like they've been at this for a while.
Tommy hops off of Jonathan's back and walks towards the bodies. He puts a finger on the side of their neck to check their pulse.
Yeah, these struggling speaking men, not only do they have a pulse, but their heart is racing.
They're dead.
Maybe those rats have some clues about what's been going on.
And Jonathan Large gets down on all fours and then bends over so that he's like completely flat on the ground, like his chin is at ground level. And he scoots up to one of the little rats and he says,
"Pardon me, rat man, do you speak the common tongue?"
I'm going to have you make a, let's have you make a wisdom roll on this. No, you know what? Let's have you make a charisma roll on this.
Thank you. Natural one. It landed as though it was weighted.
The rat looks at you and says, "No, my friend, I do not speak the common tongue. All I speak is rat, and this sentence that explains that that's the only thing I speak."
Oh, dang. Let's see here. Te llamo español.
No es bueno.
Qué lastima. All right.
Jonathan stands up and says,
"These rats don't speak our tongue. No clues there."
Moose is going to lean down at the men under the bikes. "I know they're dead, but maybe I can revive one of them and get some information."
One of them is like got a bike and he's trying to throw it at himself. He says, "God, I feel so alive."
Moose is going to lean over and he's going to grab that guy by the lapels. Mm-hmm. And he's going to shake him a bit and say, "Live, damn it, live."
Cool. This shirtless man is just by the force of personality. It's as if he has lapels and he shakes and shakes and the bike knocks off and he looks around in a daze. He says, What year is it?"
Moose slaps him.
"Gah! You're right. It doesn't matter. How can I help you?"
"The point is, buddy, you're alive and, well, you need some clothes. We'll get to that later. But first, we're looking for someone by the name of Sucks Christ."
Sucks Christ. I think I remember that name. He stands up. He says, and he looks back at the others. He says, "What a shame. Dead men." And he says, "Yes, I think I remember that name. Back from when I was a cop. The last honest one in this town. I think Sucks Christ was in and out of trouble all the time. Yeah, a wayward youth. I remember him well. Why? Did something happen?"
Moose looks across the street to a precinct of the Piss Harbor Police Department.
Yeah.
And there's a sign out front that's with you can change the number, like, and it's zero honest cops.
He looks at it too. He goes, "See?"
Yeah. Anyways, you haven't seen him lately?
"No, in fact, I asked you, did something happen with him?"
"Oh, we're bounty hunters. We're here to capture him and turn him in for money."
"I always knew something bad would happen to that guy. Probably because he's so bad."
"That could be why."
"No, I just..." "Well..." "He and his buddy were always up to these crazy get-rich-quick schemes. That's the only thing I remember."
"Buddy?"
"Yeah, he had a friend of some sort."
"Is that friend around?"
"I wouldn't know."
Moose, don't ask questions about someone who don't matter to the story. We gotta focus on Sucks.
You're right. Sucks is clearly the protagonist of his own tale. The friend, merely a supporting player.
And me, an ex-honest cop who got hooked on bike.
But hey, now that I've saved your life, I'm sure you'll clean up your act.
I'm sure I will. And he walks away and trips on the bike and struggles. And struggles under it. This is forever.
Well, I'm stumped.
At this point, you see like a shadow moving behind the front window of the Blimpies.
We could go inside the Blimpies.
Jonathan, are you hungry?
No, for clues.
Well, I could use another milkshake.
What? Wow, you ain't finished that one in your hand yet.
She finishes it and walks inside.
Fair enough. Tommy follows.
We all follow.
You hear the ding-a-ling of the door as you enter Blimpy. Buddy, it's a Blimpy. Fluorescent light everywhere. Sandwiches being sold as far as the eye can see, which is not very far. You're inside of a store.
Is there a line?
No, there's no line at this blimpy, unfortunately. Despite the fact that they make a quality sandwich.
Come out in. There's no line in here. You see a man with a handlebar mustache and dressed. He's got a waiter's smock, an apron. That's called an apron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's wearing an apron. He's got a handlebar mustache. He's wearing a chef's hat, and he's just rubbing down the counter.
You, sir, employee in the waiter's smock. We're looking for someone.
Yeah, I've seen many a character come through this tavern.
Sucks Christ, ever heard of him?
Yes, Sucks Christ. He was the coolest guy in my middle school class. That guy could spit further than anybody else, and he had a pretty sick BMX bike, too.
That tracks with my notions of cool in middle school.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Have you seen him since?
I haven't seen Sucks Christ in about 1,000 years.
Well, this trail is cold.
Sucks is so old. We might be dealing with some kind of god, a Kingslayer god.
Hmm. I think you might be onto something, Neil. Some sort of Kingslayer god who's gotten bored with life itself and all of its riches and locks orphans into burning buildings for kicks.
Brings me no joy to admit it, but Neil can only be 100% correct here.
Thank you, Moose, for your objective assessment.
What's your story? You're all trying to find this sex character for some reason?
Yeah, we're bounty hunters, you see. Because of the various crimes that Sucks Christ has committed, we're going to capture him and bring him in, collect the bounty, and then whoever put that bounty on him will then, see him to some sort of justice, we imagine.
Oh, that's an interesting thing you just said to me. You're telling me the person that put the bounty up has to pay the money for the bounty?
That's how it works 100% of the time, my man.
Oh, is it, Moose? That was an interesting question. I realized I never questioned.
Oh, it could be like the government.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's if a bounty has been hired by like a person, that's going to be a situation where the person who, called out the bounty will be, due to pay in full when the bounty is collected.
But just as a jumping off point academically, if it were a government or association, then we, the taxpayers, would be effectively paying that bounty. But like you said, if it is just an individual, then usually that comes from them or whatever sources they have available to fund the bounty.
Well, fuck me.
And if for some reason they're unable to pay, well, we would just kill them. We're bounty hunters. We can do that.
Fuck me in the ass, then.
Oh.
This guy starts crying. Provide the counter.
Oh.
Mr. Blimpy, no, it's okay. It's okay.
Tommy, this could be your chance to get back in the game.
I was going to say.
Tommy puts both of his hands on this strange man's shoulders, and he shakes him. Then he keeps one hand on the shoulder and puts the other one on his crying cheek. It's all right. It's all right. I understand it's hard to learn about the workings of this deathless city. But don't worry, we're here to protect you right now. You got nothing to worry about.
And as you touch his cheek, you brush the handlebar mustache, and you notice that underneath it is a teen stash.
Ah! Wait a minute, your stash, take it off.
And the cook backs up, and he says, this handlebar mustache is real.
In a flash, Tommy Whistle's tongue shoots out, taking that handlebar mustache and yanking it off down his gullet.
Oh, fuck!
Huge reveal. Do we see him for who he is?
Yeah, the tongue enveloped, like Looney Tunes style, enveloped all of Sucks and pulled the entirety of the costume off that he had been wearing.
Yeah, you pull on the mustache and he like spins in a little tornado, and then the reveal is it's the full Sucks Christ.
It's the full Sucks Christ. You get the full Sucks Christ. You see him, he's got a BMX bike next to him, cut off t-shirt, PBR t-shirt, cut off denim jean jacket, cut off shorts, jean shorts, cut off gloves, fingerless gloves.
Part of this disguise was obscuring the BMX bicycle next to him.
He's holding a 40 of Old English and a Monster Energy drink. And
oh, yeah. It's time to party English style.
Tommy takes out his revolver. It's been a long time since I worked at Blimpies, but I know one thing. No outside drinks.
Who are you?
And he goes, forsooth, you have found me. I am Sux Crest, the most villainous man in the land.
Of course, you were the coolest guy in your middle school.
It is true.
Neil takes like a fighting stance.
An evil king killing god and a Blimpy employee? He's everything.
Jonathan Large locks the front door to the Blimpies and slowly flips around the sign that says, back in 5 minutes.
Tons of orphans scattered.
Oh. Yeah. A hungry man comes in. He's just like got his hands up. He's like a dog pawing at a door, just like trying to get in. And he reads the sign and says, oh, man.
And sucks when everybody posts up. He goes, all right, this is my moment. Sux Crest, the protagonist of my own tale. This is when I will take on a whole group of professional bounty hunters and win. And then he gets on his BMX bike.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back and we're squared up. Everyone's about to fight.
You look to where Neil was and Neil is gone. Neil was in a fighter position, but you hear just the tiniest sound and look up just at the moment that Neil drops from the ceiling onto Sux Crest.
Oh, from the top rope, Neil, make an attack roll on Sucks.
Fuck!
I got a 13.
Sucks, what's your constitution score?
14.
14. You land half of an inch away from him. The breeze knocks him over to the side, though, because you got pretty close. It's like when Bruce Lee punches a guy, but he doesn't connect, and he gets right in front of him, and the force of that, like, knocks the guy over.
Neil rolls away.
And Sucks goes, fuck, dude! That shit came out of the ceiling! Fuck, dude!
And that's not the only aerial attack you're about to experience, my godly enemy. I've never faced a god before. Huh, fun.
Anyway, and Jonathan Large gallops around so hard that he gallops up the wall and along it like he's riding a half pipe on a skateboard, but nope, it's horse hooves. And then he leaps off, sending a four-hooved flying kick right at Sux Crest.
Make an attack roll using your charisma modifier.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Four. Okay, you're running up the walls, and you actually are running up the large plate glass windows that lead to the exterior, and you just shatter those.
Yeah, it's like something went wrong with the sprite, and I'm just like galloping. I'm still galloping sideways on air as my body just sort of drifts off frame. I'm glitching.
You're like clipping in and out of the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what happens when you try to kick a goal.
Oh, it's me, Sux Crest. Prepare to fucking meet your maker, you fucking dildos. And then he pulls a bunch of ninja stars that he bought at a Hot Topic and fucking whips it at Tommy because he destroyed his disguise.
Nice. Okay, make an attack roll on Tommy. By the way, as you said that, I noticed your voice. I figured out your voice. Sucks's voice sounds like if Pauly Shore was from the East Coast.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's who I am.
Wow.
Shit.
It's been driving me insane. Like I had a trickle of water in the inside of my skull.
I just got a nat 20.
Nat 20!
Oh, no. That's bad.
Bye,
for
Tommy.
Us. Bye, Tommy.
This goes as well as it possibly could. How many stars did you throw at him?
I had one between each of my fingers, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 stars.
Oh, yeah, sucks is missing a few fingers. You throw 6 stars at him. Each star does, roll a d6 for each star.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I liked Tommy.
That's 25, my friend.
That's bad. That's bad, Tim.
25. Tim, you are torn up by these ninja stars.
Tommy falls to the ground, stars all over his chest. He tries to sidle up against the back wall, but he can't make it. He can't make it. He's like Boromir with a bunch of arrows on, you know, the way Boromir dies. Against, he's against the glass wall of the blimpy.
Like, got me, partner. He got me.
He passes out.
Tommy, we can't let him die a virgin. Moose is gonna whip around.
Oh no.
And he's gonna.
Oh jeez.
Oh no.
Oh, Jesus fuck.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What's your next step, dude?
Do it.
Tommy whips around and draws his gun. And he's gonna fucking shoot. He's gonna shoot Christ, Sucks.
All right, make an attack roll on Sucks Christ.
Branson, that's gonna be an 8.
An 8. Sucks, what's your constitution score?
14.
14? You fire a gun at him, harmlessly.
But, my bullet hits a, like, industrial-sized container of ranch. And ranch dressing is just now, like, pouring out onto the floor of the blimpy.
Yeah, it starts, it's just like a single hole, and it's just like, oh, that's harmless, and a little bit of a leak, and then the hole spreads, and it gets bigger and bigger, and industrial-grade ranch is spilling out everywhere.
You realize that one whole wall of the blimpies is just a massive aquarium full of ranch?
Yeah, the facade falls away, and you see it's all ranch.
Neil, struggling through the, like, sea of ranch, makes her way to Tommy and pulls out the stars from Hot Topic that have various characters from Nightmare Before Christmas on them. And she crunches it in her hand like a piece of aluminum foil and checks Tommy's pulse.
The slightest pulse can be felt, but he is seconds away before death.
He's dead. Neil turns around.
As Neil says that, we zoom into Tommy's mind. Tommy, you're somewhere mentally far from here. Where are you?
Tommy sits on cattle outside of a ranch that he used to work on. The sun is setting as the birds sing by, and the arid land has a dry warmth to it. As he sings his theme song that you hear every episode so far, I'm hoping, if the editors who have been receiving my emails are listening to me.
My belly be rumbling, so I'll lasso a fly. But when I'm done gulping, and the bug's been all swallowed up, then I'm back to being lonesome. So lonesome I could cry. Weird times.
We zoom back out.
And Neil is mid-hurl. She's throwing the crumpled stars at Sucks Christ in a rage.
Make an attack roll with advantage because Hot Topic rocks.
I got a 12 this time.
Oh, with advantage? That's the higher?
Yep.
Okay. What's your constitution?
My constitution is 14 from years and years of drinking nothing but nacho cheese goo.
That is good for you. And you're reaping the benefits now of all your hard work as these stars. That's pretty close, though, to your number. So they form like a little outline around you. You've been silhouetted as they like hit the wall behind you.
Meanwhile, outside the blimpies, outside of Piss Harbor, Jonathan Large is spinning through the air, flying, dislodged from any idea of what reality means, until, like Pac-Man, he reaches the edge of the screen and then immediately re-enters on the other side, coming up out of the ranch dressing, hooves first, right into Sucks Christ. Oh,
we saw Jonathan made it to the edge of what's even visible in Piss Harbor, and it's just like endless, like, white void beyond that.
Yeah, and then that white turns into ranch dressing as he gallops on out, hooves up right into your face. I will roll for it.
Yeah, make an attack roll.
Wow, 23.
Holy fuck.
Yo. So, like, fucking...
You're about to eat the wolf.
The cavalry arrives, is out of the ranch. Jonathan charges.
Yeah, an upside down half horse. just cartwheeling heavy hooves at you.
Yeah, those hooves fucking connect. Sucks is, you hit Sucks, like, in his chest, and all of the Skittles that he had in his pockets go everywhere. It's like
just loose. He had opened the bags.
I was saving those for later. Fuck.
Oh, ranch dressing out of a new reality, and now Skittles out of a man's throat. This might soon be the most disgusting blimpies I've ever been in.
Sucks. He like picks himself up out of the like steadily rising levels of ranch dressing that are filling this blimpies. And he looks at Tommy Whistle, like bleeding out in the white goo that's on the ground. And he can hear that beautiful song in his head for some reason, echoing. And he's like, fuck, your friend's super fucked up. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean for any of this to happen.
You whipped a bunch of freaking ninja stars at him.
It was reflex. I've been trained.
We come back. What was his training? What would that look like?
It's they're in the basement of his mom's house. There's mm-hmm. wood paneling everywhere. And him and Booger are just like whipping ninja stars at each other.
Yeah, a ninja star catches Booger in the forehead. He goes, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
We come back.
I will not sluss into your friend like I sluss into my best friend, Booger, who is absolutely not the main character of any stories. And I wade through the ranch dressing and I pull the monster energy drink out of my backpack, my Dakine backpack, and I crack it open and I'm like, Frogman, you need this. It has the energy of a monster inside of it. And I... You can hear the void as I pour neon green liquid into his mouth.
I'm going to need you to roll a d12.
A d12? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Ooh, 12.
Please, forgive me my sins of trying to kill this frogman. 12. Holy shit.
Wow. Oh my God.
12. Tommy, the maximum amount that this monster energy drink can help you, it helps you.
Stillness. Tommy's body doesn't move. But then, out of the holes in his unfortunately naked chest that were created by the stars, green starts shooting out like geysers. Six geysers from his body start shooting out all the monster that was put in. But then, when the monster runs out, what starts shooting out is blood. Purified blood. Forgiven blood. Blood of the forgiven frog shoots out of his body straight into Sucks Christ's face, giving him forgiveness. Forgiveness from blood like has never been seen before in Cordelia.
Pelting him point blank. Just like you're fucking your finger on a garden hose, just spraying him with blood. His hair is blown back.
Then, one hole clots. The geyser turns off. The other hole clots. Healthily, it turns off. Clot, 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 clot. And Cordelia clotting is cool.
And clot, 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 clot.
Clot, 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 clot,
I'm back.
We zoom into the inside of Tommy really quickly, and we see all of his platelets shaking hands with each other, saying, "We did it, boys." Zoom back out.
Tommy pulls himself to his feet. You killed me, but then you brought me back. Why?
Sex Christ is kneeling on the ground in eponymously Christ-like pose.
The ranch has begun to leak out of the broken windows that shattered when Jonathan ran through them. It as it once was overtaking Tommy, it is now beginning to pour out, and the ranch reserves are beginning to run dry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Frogman. I did not mean to kill you, but my training kicked in, and I threw those Hot Topic Nightmare Before the Christmas themed ninja stars at you that I had shoplifted earlier today.
I can accept your apology, but still, you killed the king. We have to take you in.
And you burned all those orphans.
Right. That too.
Unforgivable. If I knew anyone that was responsible for orphan burning, boy, would I be steamed at them.
Now, wait a minute, Moose. I believe this man was forgiven. Forgiven by the blood that Neil forgave in me. Neil, I have to be thankful for you for creating my virginity. Because a virgin blood is what was able to forgive this man in the eyes of God, but not in the eyes of the law.
Neil is just nodding. This absolutely tracks with her understanding of the world and the simple logistics of their existence.
But Tommy, if you expelled all that blood and forgave Sux, does that mean all your forgiveness is empty? Are you unforgiven now? Are you experienced?
Oh my God. My sexual experiences, they've been reactivated.
No!
Neil stands protectively in front of Sux because because she instinctively goes into sentinel protective mode of anyone in Christ pose.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Neil, please. He may be forgiven in the eyes of God, but we still got a bounty to take in.
Right, but the conflict, I can't reconcile it. She's shaking her head and sort of panicking.
Neil, we know that you're new to this, but you have to juggle two truths in your mind, and that is that one may be forgiven by the God above, but not the gods below. By which, of course, I do mean our court system and the people who pay for us to make a living. The god of capitalism, if it were.
Yes. Yes, that's right. She reluctantly and forcefully moves her foot back and steps out of the way.
Hey, Neil.
So that Sux may be taken.
That's very cool, Neil. Very cool. I think you'll make a bounty hunter yet.
Thanks, Jonathan.
You're welcome.
Now you see, Sucks, the reason you could never have defeated us. It's the power of being co-workers. The way we are able to call each other out and invite each other in and call ourselves out with each other, that's something you'll never understand when you are the protagonist of your own story without sharing the spotlight.
We challenge ourselves to do better.
And Sucks is, he's kneeling there in the steadily dropping levels of ranch dressing. Still in a Christ-like pose, and he is weeping because in his mind he has returned to the day that his uncle dad left for cigarettes and still has not returned, and realizing that all of his plans have come to naught because he will not only not get the bounty, but he is now in debt for $700,000 to whoever picks him up, which doubles the amount of debt that he is currently in. Fuck. I'm never going to be able to find my daddy, my uncle daddy who left to get cigarettes all those years ago. What could have happened to him? Who knows? He's monologuing out loud right now.
Wait a minute. His words, they sound honeyed.
For sure.
Yes, be careful, Jonathan. Remember, he's got a wicked tongue, a silver tongue.
Forsooth, I'm Sux, the maker of my own demise. I have posted my own bounty in an effort to try and swindle the government out of money so that I might buy my friend's my friend Booger's mom above ground pool and find my uncle dad. But such it is not to be. Ah, sucks. Sucks.
Sucks. Come on, we're professional bounty hunters. You think we've never heard this excuse before? Oh, I bountied myself. Give it a break.
I did. I bounted myself.
And as you say this from behind you, outside of the blimpy, you hear, well, well, well. And as you turn around, you see standing there is Booger. He's dressed like he raided, he robbed a Spirit Halloween store and grabbed the bounty hunter costume. He's wearing like a cheap plastic bounty hunter costume and he's holding a real grenade. If it isn't Sucks Christ, I'm here to collect the bounty on you so that I can collect the $700,000, right?
And Sucks is like, Booger, no. No, be careful, Booger. It's not what we thought it was.
My friend, the incredible actor, and he grabs, he bites the pin of the grenade and pulls on it, pulling out most of his teeth in the process. The pin is not pulled out of the grenade. He goes, oh, that hurt! And then he pulls the pin on the grenade and throws it towards you.
And everything goes into slow motion.
It does. We see the grenade, the arc of it, up into the sky, getting closer and closer to you. In slow motion, the Booger starts doing the suck it gesture over and over again. You each have time for one action.
Moose gets behind Neil.
Actually really smart.
Yeah, she's made of stone.
Yeah, Jonathan sees Moose's move and turns to Neil.
Neil, could you handle it? How many firebombings have there been at your church that you survived?
Neil's slowly turning her head to listen, and then she does, and she hears it. She hears him, and she turns towards the sky and opens her mouth.
Tommy gets on his knees, takes off his hat, puts it over his heart, still clotted.
And in that moment, Sex takes a rolled up Playboy out of the back pocket of his jean shorts.
No, and he loves that.
It's the only gift his father ever gave him. And
the only articles he'll ever read.
He throws it slow motion at the grenade, which is traveling into Neil's mouth. Its pages leafing open.
An extremely tall centerfold, the size of three men tall. It just keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. This was a Goliath centerfold. And the Playboy wraps around the grenade, forming a cocoon of pornography and excellent articles. The cocoon grenade falls into Neil's mouth, down your throat.
Neil swallows it into the holy water of her central nervous system.
And milkshake.
And the milkshake. And then she opens her eyes and they're glowing. And she says, I'm experienced.
Shit!
Yeah.
Whoa.
Time comes back.
Neil's like a different stance. You know, like time comes back and she has like a different stance and like a knowing look in her eye.
Whoa, Neil, you did what? Double take. Something's different about you.
Yeah, it's all the sex I ingested.
Oh. Cool. All right, well, let's arrest Sucks.
Wait, no. You guys aren't arresting Sucks. I'm arresting Sucks. And I'm getting the 700,000 gold or coins or whatever that we put up for him. Come on, it's the perfect crime.
Booger, dude, don't you fucking see? We totally fucked it up.
How?
We're going to have to pay. There's no bounty fund like we thought. If we put up the bounty, we got to pay it ourselves.
And simple, we'll just pay with the 700,000 gold that we get.
No, but we would have to. Fuck, dude. This is why you're not the main character anymore.
Oh!
That hurts. I told you that in confidence.
Dude, we cannot get the $700,000 because we do not have it to give.
Wait, so it just comes from, where's it supposed to come from then? How are we supposed to get $700,000? We're going to buy my mom in a buff grand pool.
Booger, you seem stressed. Would you like a sandwich?
Yeah, I'd love a sandwich, but where am I going to get one of those?
Tommy, make him a sandwich.
Tommy, who as we know used to work here, hops over the counter and begins to make some sandwiches.
And we flash forward in time, 10 entire minutes.
I didn't think there was a king.
What a crazy misunderstanding.
Yeah, it was all just some crazy scheme that I thought up after being stabbed by a little rat.
It's true, Moose. There's no way you get paid. But look at it this way. We don't have to pay. Everyone wins.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Except whoever owns this blimpy.
And Jonathan looks at all of the ranch dressing and broken windows and a sign that won't allow the long line of customers in to pay for the sandwiches that would easily pay for all these repairs.
Moose says, don't worry. No one will ever know it was us. And then Moose grabs a roll of receipt paper and rips some off and writes a note. And he says, it was the dishonest cops.
And sucks. Puts his BMX bike next to the receipt to lend credence to it, because it's all the cops that were hopped up on bike slams.
But sucks, your bike.
I know, it was one of the things that made me. But, fuck, I think I need to find out who the real sucks Christ is, because I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
We've all changed a great deal today, but you've changed into who you've always been.
And the camera flips back to Sucks, and he looks like Gavin DeGraw.
It was you the whole time.
Sucks Christ has completed his transformation into Gavin DeGraw.
The letters of Sucks Christ rearrange.
Every flashback to different times of the episodes when you thought, audience, you were idiots, you thought you were looking at Sucks Christ, it was Gavin DeGraw the whole time. So obvious. Now we cut forward in time 12 hours. It's nighttime. There's police tape all around the blimpy, and a detective looks up and down the crime scene. He says, over here, over here. And a Columbo-like detective, he walks over and goes, what do we got here? The other detective points to the receipt and says, it was the crooked cops. The Columbo detective, he takes the receipt and he looks at it and he says, no more questions. Case closed. And we end on, I don't want to be anything.
Other than what I've been trying to be lately. Lately.
Was Allie Fisher as Neil, Carly Minardo as Edgica, Christopher Hastings as Jonathan Large, Joe Lepore as Moose, Tim Blatt as Tommy Whistle, and Branson Reese as everything and everyone else, with one notable exception. Rude Tales of Magic is produced by Bucket of Milk, edited by Sam Grant, and sound designed and scored by Kodiak Sanders. Sound design from Michael Gelfi. As always, special thanks to Tyler Button and Sydney and Benjamin Paul.
Thanks, Grave Freaker. Old Moose will take it from here. We'd also like to give a special thanks to Abdul Aziz for bringing us the incredible character Sucks Christ. I'm sure you'll be hearing the name Sucks Christ a lot come award season. If you'd like to hear more of Abdul, definitely check out his awesome podcast, Spelt Lore. Available wherever you download podcasts. That's Spelt Lore. Available where podcasts exist. See you next time, folks.
Hey,
That was a HeadGum Podcast.